Folly Wildlife Rescue Trust is a charity dedicated to the rescue and rehabilitation of wildlife in West Kent, East Sussex and the surrounding region. This wildlife hospital provides specialist care and treatment, and it's committed to raising awareness about the plight of our wildlife and what we can do to help. It's a big subject, so we're going to cover it in a series of visits, and I'm joined by Charlotte McLaughlin, who is a supervisor here at Folly. Charlotte, hi, it's good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
So you kindly gave us a general overview of Folly last time we were here. What are we going to talk about today?
I thought today we'd talk about birds. They're our biggest admission to the hospital, and they come in for all sorts of reasons, and there's also a lot of variety of them, so I thought that would be a good place to start.
Okay, sounds good. Lots of young arriving at this time of year, I expect?
Yes, so definitely. Springtime is when all of our British garden birds and corvids start breeding. They have at least two seasons, so between May through to about July, we're expecting lots of little babies coming in that rely on us.
What about baby ducklings? They're about to arrive, aren't they?
Yeah, so ducklings are already out and about with avian influenza restrictions at the moment. We can't take them in, but there are other rescues out there that are able to take them in.
Are they often just left by their parents and you really should leave them alone? Would that be the best thing?
Sometimes. It depends where you find them. Often mummy duck would like to nest in people's gardens because she knows it's a safe space. We get quite a few calls about this because obviously it's an enclosed garden and they're unsure of what to do and how they're going to get out and getting access to water. But mother duck knows what she's doing. She will lead them out eventually. If you're concerned, you can always put a shallow tray of water in your garden for them to access water that way. But the main thing is not catching the ducklings, because if you try to catch them and mum flies off, it's unlikely that she'll come back.
So where ducklings are concerned, you can certainly call here for advice.
Of course, we're open from 9 till 5 for advice. So yeah, if you have any queries, it's always good to call and we can help advise over the phone. On the
Okay, so that's ducklings. Lots of other birds though. What types of birds are you seeing?
A lot of pigeons and doves, a lot of garden birds. We're overflowing with baby corvids at the moment and we're starting to get birds of prey in as well.
And corvids are?
Your jackdaws, your magpies, crows, rooks.
All the really clever ones.
Yes, definitely.
And they are smart, aren't they?
They are the messiest babies. We give them all sorts of toys to try and keep them preoccupied, but they just like shredding their anything you give them. We love them really.
But they're challenging.
Challenging and very, very noisy. We have to put ear defenders on when we go in and feed them.
Now what else?
We do have a baby tawny owl in at the moment. He's the first one of our season this year. Slowly we will start teaching him how to feed himself.
How do you do that?
Essentially we have a little owl puppet.
It's a glove puppet.
It is a wrist that they imprint on us, so using an owl puppet they think that it is mummy owl feeding them.
So you don't dress up as an owl?
Well, sometimes we do have to have tea towels on our heads and covering up our faces.
Do you really? Seriously?
Yes, because they do imprint quite easily, so we need to minimise that risk and make sure that they don't think humans are where they get their food source from. So we use the puppet to feed them, we use chicks to feed them. So we use the owl to pick up bits of chick and feed them, and then slowly we'll kind of like put chick on the floor and tap it, and they should start picking it up themselves. And then they just have the innate ability to then start feeding themselves.
So. Fascinating. You do rely on volunteers, don't you, at this time of year? Very, very much so.
Yeah, heavily, especially when it comes to baby bird feeding. Some are fed every 20 minutes, some every half an hour. So it's a round-the-clock care from 7 till 7. Mm. And we couldn't do that without the support of our volunteers, because there's many mouths to feed, and we are very, very thankful for everyone who donates their time.
So here at the hospital, it's split into many different units, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should we go to the baby bird unit?
Yes, let's go.
Okay.
Let's see who we've got in.
Okay, so we're in the baby bird unit. It looks a very busy place. How many baby birds do you think we have at the moment?
In care, probably around 40 maybe.
So let me try to describe it. We've got lots of little cages and boxes with baby birds of varying ages. We've got some that look like they're ready to go. They've got their feathers on and they're looking very chirpy. Do they go to the aviary from here outside before they get released?
Yeah, so they go through a system. When they first come in, when they're newly hatched and little fledglings, we keep them in an incubator, which keeps them nice and warm, and we feed them. The next stage, we move them into little hamster cages, so they get a bit more space, they can start hopping around, and once they've passed that stage, we've got these white bird cages, and again, it's giving them more room so they can start stretching their wings. And then we judge when they're ready to go outside off of tail length and feather coverage. So we have aviaries outside, which is their last step of rehabilitation, so they can become acclimatised to the weather. And once they've been out there for a while, we will release them, usually into volunteer garden, and then they're off ready to make their mark in the world.
That's wonderful. Now, looking at these, these are blackbirds, right? But they're not actually black when they're babies, are they?
No, so when they're born, they're like a mottled brown colour.
They look like a thrush, don't they, really?
Yeah. And they're common, they're related to thrushes as well. So we tend to mix thrushes and blackbirds together when we come in because they're naturally found in the same.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Are you able to mix the species?
We can mix certain species. There are some species that don't get on with others, such as sparrows, but we can mix different...
What, so sparrows don't get on with anybody?
No. They're the sassiest little birds. They like their own company, and other than that, they would rather stay away. But we can mix different types of tits together, so yeah. Great tits and blue
So
tits.
Here we've got tits, so three delightful
yes,
little... We've got two blue tits and a little great tit. Oh, gorgeous. So how old would they be? They've got their feathers on. They look pretty
They're
trippy.
They're pretty much ready to go outside. We're just waiting for some space for them outside, and then they'll be ready to go.
I read a very interesting fact this morning.
Okay.
So apparently blackbirds, if they feel like there's a problem, they will find an ant's nest, sit on the ant's nest and let the ants invade them, because the ants have formic acid, and that is a natural antiseptic. Is that true?
It is true. It's called anting. So they'll go find an ant's nest and they will put their wings out, and the ants will come on and basically clean the feathers of parasites and put this acid to clean the feathers.
And that's antiseptic. Isn't nature wonderful?
It's amazing.
It really is. Now, I can see the feed that you've got here. It looks like a type of paste.
Yeah, so it's our secret recipe. So we have a recipe that we mix together, and we call it glop, and we feed it to them on either a paintbrush or a little cocktail stirrer, and they're very good. Baby birds will just gape when they're hungry, and we can just feed it to them, and then they're very good at telling us when they've had enough. They'll turn away unless they are dunnocks or sparrows, which don't have an off switch, so they will just keep eating and eating and eating.
Until
so we have to sell
enough
them
is enough. yeah. So these little sparrows, so there's three. Is it three little sparrows in
here?
Four little sparrows. Now they look very chippy. I think feeding with them must be a challenge, because when you open the door, do they all try and fly off?
Yes, we have quite a few escapees, but we don't see it as escapees in the room. It's just test
it's
flying.
It's just flying. Yeah. Yes, of course it is. Yes.
So they can't go anywhere. Oh. And we just catch them with the net and return them back to their
They're
home.
Really sprightly little fellows. And these tiny little incubators, these have got the very young in, right?
Yeah, so again, they've not got much feather coverage, so we like to make sure they're nice and warm and they can just focus on growing, really.
Yeah.
A couple of them are on medications, because quite often they get brought in by cats.
Is it mostly injuries, or is it abandonment, or do they fall out of nests? I mean, what's typical of what you receive here?
Majority of them are brought in by cats. Some of them we do get that have fallen out of their nest because they think they're old enough and ready to go out into the big wide world, so they jump out and then realise they're not quite there yet. We always like people to watch them at that stage, because if mum and dad are coming down to feed them, it's a good sign and that they can kind of be left alone.
Okay, so if they just attempt to fly and they fall out of this, they're almost ready to go.
Yeah.
Try and leave them alone, because the parents will continue to feed them even when they're out of the nest.
We always say monitor them for a while, and if mum and dad are coming back to feed them, you can leave them. If you're monitoring them and mum and dad don't come back, we always recommend
How long should you monitor them for?
Just for a couple hours. They'll come back to feed them quite regularly. If it's like a naked little baby and you know where the nest is, we always recommend popping them back in the nest.
And so the smell of your hand wouldn't...
Yeah, so the scent marking is important for mammals, but for the birds, they're not too fussed.
Okay.
So if you know where the nest is and you've got like a naked little hatchling, always pop them back. And again, you can monitor them to see whether mum and dad come back. And again, if mum and dad aren't coming back, that's when we'd recommend.
So if you find a baby bird and your clothes, you're out of hours, what should you do overnight just to keep them safe?
Overnight, we always recommend keeping them in a box, obviously, that they can't get out of, but with good ventilation and air holes. Keeping them warm and dry. We don't recommend trying to feed them anything. We can always offer a bit of water with a paintbrush on the side of the beak, but we'd never say force feed them anything. No,
and don't like try and use a spoon or something.
No.
They can breathe it in.
Yeah, so they can aspirate quite quickly.
So offer it on the end of a paintbrush.
Or even like a damp cotton bud, just on the side of the beak, and they'll drink it if they want to. And the main thing is making sure they don't get wet.
Just keep them warm and dry and offer them some water, and then bring them here.
Bring them to here or any other wildlife rescue that's closest to you.
Okay. And we've got a very willing volunteer here visually feeding. So what's your name?
My name's Jan.
So you've got your hands full here. You've got a nice little family. Well, how many are there? There's six blue tits. They are feeding them with this little wooden stick.
Yes.
And I can see their little mouths open.
They're already
very keen to eat. Yeah, look, they're so hungry. So you've been a volunteer for a long time?
No, I just started just before Christmas.
And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, love it.
So rewarding, I should imagine.
Yeah, it's quite varied.
Hard work, though. So rewarding to see these little ones growing.
They're adorable.
And ready to leave. Isn't that wonderful? Fabulous. Okay, should we go into the challenging corvids?
Yes, we can certainly go in.
We can't actually go in though, can we? Because it's a biosecure area, isn't it?
Yeah, again, because of avian influenza, we're having to increase our PPE requirements and biosecurity at the moment.
Okay, let's go see the corvid. Right, so here we are in the corvid room. So it looks like we've got about 30 birds in here, maybe. We have a number of big cages with doors on, and then smaller boxes. And we've got like, it looks like a fish tank full of them. They don't like corvids. What are they?
They're pheasant chicks.
They're beautiful. And there's what, about eight pheasant chicks in there?
I think there's nine in there.
Nine.
Yes.
They're beautiful, aren't they? Gorgeous little things.
They multiplied. So we had one to begin with.
Yeah.
And then we accepted three others from another rescue because he'd been on his own quite a while. And again, they like the company of others. And then later on that day, we got another eight in on the same day.
Whoa.
So one became 12.
And this look, how old are they be?
They're a couple of weeks now. So maybe about three weeks or so.
And how long will you have to keep them till they're able to leave?
So once they start getting their juvenile sub-adult feathers.
And you don't know what sex they are at this age, do you?
No, not until they get their adult colouring.
Okay, and then surprise, surprise!
Yes!
So we've got magpies, we've got rooks. Have we got any rooks? Crows, a couple of crows, jackdaws.
Yeah, we haven't had any jokes. Yes.
Oh, he's crowing nicely for us in the background. So I find it's hard to categorise them because they're just like bigger versions of each other, don't they?
Yeah, so the key identifiers is crows are completely black, rooks will have a little white chin when they're babies, and jackdaws will have blue eyes.
Oh!
So you can tell them apart once you know the differences.
That's interesting.
And yeah, crows tend to be a lot bigger.
Uh-huh.
And then you've also got the raven, which is a gigantic
huge
crow.
Bird. Yeah. Do you ever see ravens?
We don't often get them in. We had one baby raven last year, but we haven't had any since.
Because they're not that common, are they?
No, they're not common.
These are mucky creatures, aren't they?
Very mucky.
They get filthy, so your volunteers have to not only feed them, but there's a lot of cleaning involved.
Yeah,
as well,
we clean
I imagine.
Them at least twice a day.
And their beaks get all gunky and horrible.
Yeah, we check them all the time to make sure their beaks are nice and clean, that their feathers are in good condition, or to prepare them for going out.
Because aside from the volunteers, there are veterinary nurses, there are people like yourself, and you've got vets here as well also that check all the animals. But the feeding is done mostly by volunteers.
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's head out and leave.
That is a baby jackdaw, I believe.
They sound like they're in pain.
They do, but they're just nice and noisy to make sure mum doesn't forget about them. When they're all very, very hungry, we wear ear defenders because it caused quite a ruckus.
Do these go into an aviary and then they're raised?
Yeah, we've got large, big flight aviaries down on our lower land. Again, they'll go out there to acclimatise. Some of these guys are ready to go out. We just have to worm them before they go out.
If you spot that they do have bird flu, is that a disease they can recover from?
No, unfortunately not.
And is it rife at the moment?
In the wild, we're in a high-risk zone still at the moment.
Yeah.
The government are assessing it. I think it's every 2 weeks, and we get updates on the levels and whether they're likely to increase or decrease, and then that all goes
to inform our biosecurity
and
measures.
And do you help with that? So if you get an animal that has bird flu, do you have to report that to the health?
We do, so we monitor them all very closely. Thankfully, we haven't had any cases or any kind of symptoms at all. If we get an animal that's suspicious, quite often we send them to a vet straight away so they can assess them. We isolate all of our high-risk species to limit that risk. If we did get a suspicious animal, we would send it off to them for testing and wait for the results to come back and then follow their guidance from there.
Okay, great. Right, thank you. So that's Corvids. Shall we head out? Charlotte, it's such a wonderful place. Folly Wildlife Rescue, it's not open to the general public, is it? This is a hospital.
Yeah, we are a working hospital. We do have tours that you can book online through our website if you wanted to have a behind-the-scenes tour. But yeah, we don't take any walk-in tours at all.
But I know you are desperate for volunteers. So if somebody listening wants to volunteer, what should they do?
Again, if you go to our website, there should be a link for volunteering there, or you can call up one day and we can pass you on our volunteer coordinator's details.
And you get full training.
Full training, and it's an enjoyable and very rewarding thing to do. Yeah, I started off as a volunteer myself, and I've loved every second since.
Wonderful, great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Charlotte. I will let you get on. I know you're so busy, so appreciate your time. We will come back. We'll do something, we'll do a different species next time.
Yes, of course.
But for now, thanks. Charlotte McLaughlin here at Folly Wildlife Rescue. Thank you very much.
No worries, thank you very much.